Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we are so blessed that you listen to the broadcast. Many people have, and they send emails and prayer requests. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't come in person, you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, join us. You can chat, pray, worship with us, or you can always worship with us or go to our YouTube and watch our children's messages, watch our weekly messages at the Seed Christian Fellowship. It is our prayer here at the Seed that we all grow in grace and go out to plant seeds of faith everywhere our life brings us. Be kind out there. It's hot and people are kind of crabby. This week, remember that cup of cold water. God notices our kindness, and so will others. Last week, we began part one of this message with a wonderful song, This Is My Father's World. We talked about author Maltby Babcock and his desire to take time to go out into his father's world to see all that God had blessed him with and given him. I encourage you last week to take some time this week and go outside into our Father's world and pause and ponder the wonders of God's goodness and mercy that follows us every day. I still marvel that each and every sunrise and sunset are originals, not a two alike. Today at church, we're celebrating the Sacrament of Communion. I would encourage you to celebrate that Holy Sacrament, and our communion song would be, This Is My Father's World. Our scripture readings today come from the Gospel of Matthew and also from the letter to the Hebrews. Before we go to God's living word, let us come to our living Lord in a moment of prayer. Lord God, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You provide us with our daily bread. You protect us under the shadow of your almighty wings, your wings of love and mercy and kindness and goodness. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us today with your presence. Help us to hear the soft sound of Jesus's sandaled feet, the sandaled feet of the Messiah coming into our lives. Help us to enter into your story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As always, I say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Set the context. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's the longest teaching Jesus has. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's three chapters. I don't know how long it took him. I know it's longer than the program we have today. And he teaches about everything in that message. He begins with the Beatitudes, and he ends in chapter 7 about the wise and foolish builders. He says, everyone who puts these words into practice, well, they're like a wise person who builds their house on a rock. When the winds come and the storms rage and the rain falls, the house stands, but the foolish one builds their house on the sand. But it's all, he ends it with, everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice. We're going to talk about the longest teaching. It's nine verses. The longest teaching in that Sermon on the Mount is on worry. Wow. Now that's something to talk about, isn't it? Worry. Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. If you don't have a Bible, I'll mail you a Bible. You just email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. We're going to spend most of our time in there, but I want us to look real quick at Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. The writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let me say that again, the ending of that, verse 3. He says, consider him. He's talking about Christ. Consider Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We'll just digress for a minute, but he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, chapter 11 is all about the hall of faith and all those who lived by faith. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In essence, you can't run your race weighed down by the baggage of your past failures, your past sins. He says, throw them off. He says, run with perseverance the race marked out for you. And it's your race. You don't have to run someone else's race. And then he says in verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Listen, Jesus is the author of your life, and he is the perfecter of your life. And the reason being is, the second half of that is, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You're his joy. Think about that for a minute. You're his joy. Well, last week we talked about the song, This Is My Father's World. Today we're going to talk about one of my favorite songs, and it's a favorite of many people. It's a song that I started singing back in 1981. It is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Listen to the lyrics. Old soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him, and all will be well. Then go into a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. The chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I love the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I would encourage you, we've been doing these hymns. We've done How Great Thou Art, How Great Is Thy Faithfulness, Blessed Assurance, This Is My Father's World. Today we're doing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You can go to YouTube, listen to some of those hymns. My prayer is that no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, it's never too late. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Helen Howarth Lamell was the writer of this famous hymn. This hymn has touched the lives of millions. Do you know that Helen was born in England in 1863? Well, the Civil War was going on in America, and she's born in England. She was born into the home of a Wesleyan pastor. Helen and her family immigrated to America when Helen was but a child. Helen grew up loving music, and her parents provided the best vocal teachers they could find. Helen returned to Europe and studied music in Germany. She met and married a wealthy European, but he left her after she became blind. Helen struggled with many heartaches during her midlife and after she became blind. In 1918, at the age of 55, Helen was given a tract by a missionary friend. As she read it, Helen's attention was focused on a line in that tract. It said, "So then, turn your eyes upon him, look full into his face, and you will find that the things of earth will acquire a strange new dimness." In her own writing, she said, "Suddenly, as if commanded to stop and listen, I stood still, and singing in my soul and spirit was the chorus of the hymn, with not one conscious moment of putting word to word to make rhyme or note to note to make melody. The verses were written the same week after the unusual manner of composition, but nonetheless dictated by the Holy Spirit." Since that day, Helen Lamell's hymn has been translated into many languages and used by God to challenge believers around the world with the necessity of living devoted lives for His glory. Helen moved to Seattle and lived in a tiny apartment on government assistance. When people would ask her how she was doing, she would always reply, "I am doing well in the things that count." Now stop and pause and ponder this. Helen is blind, divorced, living alone in a tiny apartment on government assistance. And when asked how she was doing, she said, "I am doing well in the things that count." Let me say it again, because people ask you, "How are you doing?" And we always go, "Fine, okay." She said, "I'm doing well in the things that count." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You could go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We're talking about Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the author of that hymn, Helen Lamell, was blind. But when she was asked how she was doing, she would always respond, "I'm doing well in the things that count." That's my prayer for you, that you'll do well in the things that count. Helen had a little small keyboard by her bed, and there she would play and sing and cry. One day one day God is going to bless me with a great heavenly keyboard. I can hardly wait. Helen Lamell, who wrote nearly 500 hymns during her lifetime, died in Seattle in 1961, 13 days before her 98th birthday. One of her famous hymns, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the Things of Earth Will Grow Strangely Dim in the Light of His Glory and Grace." The heart of Jesus' message in our passage today in Matthew is, do not worry. Do not worry even about your necessities. Jesus gives the command to not worry or do not be anxious three times in verses 25, 31, and 34. He says in 25, "Do not worry about your life." In 31, he says, "Do not worry saying, what will you eat, what will you drink, or what will you wear?" And in verse 34, he says, "Don't worry about tomorrow." The word worry or worries, it's used six times in 10 verses. That's enough for me to say, stop, look, and listen. 10 verses, six times. I always say, if Jesus says something once, listen. If he says something twice, we better really pay attention. You know, three times, you better circle it and write it down. Put yourself in this story. Better yet, put this story in you. Three times, Jesus says, do not worry. Jesus has something important to say to us about worry. In the Greek, the command, do not worry, includes the idea of stopping what is already being done. The English term worry comes from the old German word, which means to strangle or choke. That is exactly what worry does. It is kind of a mental or emotional strangulation, which causes more mental and physical afflictions than any other cause of illness. Arthur Roach, I I said this last week, and I think it's a great illustration. He says, worry and fear are sort of Siamese twins. Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Well, just think of how a little river made the Grand Canyon. My so what early comes, how many of us get paralyzed by our worries and fears? How many of us get drained of all of our emotional and physical energy because of our anxious thoughts? Repeat after me. Do not worry. Do not worry. Last week we talked about how when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, or we know that this is my Father's world, God provides for us. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus and know that this is my Father's world, we can trust God for his protection. And I shared a couple personal stories on that. The important part of why we shouldn't worry, Jesus gives us three reasons marked by a threefold repetition of the word therefore or so, depending on your translation. The word therefore or so is the same word in verse 25, 31, and 34. In each case, the therefore points back to what came before. In other words, because of the truth in verse 24, when he talks about money and you can't serve money or mammon, okay, what are you going to serve? He says, we should not worry. Because the truth comes in verses 26 through 30, we should not worry. And because of the truth in verses 32 and 33, we should not worry. The answer is found in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What a wonderful promise there is in this passage to help us fight off the fears and worries that come our way. Seek first or strive first. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 27. And in verse 4, it says, the one thing that I'll seek after is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will lift me up and shelter me under his almighty wings. I don't know what the one thing you're seeking after. I don't know what wakes you up in the morning. I don't know the fears that keep you awake at night. But I can tell you what Jesus says, seek first or strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first and foremost thing that we are to do when it comes to worry is to seek first the kingdom of God. When we live in the present, the now and here, we really can forget about the past. We do not need to allow the fear of the future to consume us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This allows us to become now and here people. And while not like the Beatles, Nowhere Man. And he says, Nowhere Man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. The second promise is that all these things will be given unto you. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. You don't have to earn them or work for them. They'll be given to you when we seek first the kingdom of God. So what? Let's kind of bring it together. The so what question. How do I personally apply the presence, the provision, the protection of God in the now and here so that I don't have to worry or fear or anxiety of the nowhere land with all the nowhere plans of nobody? Let me give you three little words. Three little words that we can use when worry worms its way into our life, or fear falls upon you like a dark night of the soul, or anxiety anesthetizes your emotion. They're simple words that we learned as a child. Stop, look, and listen. First, stop looking to the world and the ways of the world to solve your worries. I would encourage you that you would turn off your smartphones for a while, turn off your electronic equipment, maybe turn off your news for a while. Why do people look to their horoscopes, the stars, and read their horoscopes when they can look to the one who made the stars? Stop and sense the presence of God, the Creator, in each and every thing that we do. Trust in the presence of your living God in the now and here. This is my Father's world. That's what we sang last week. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what we sing this week. Stop. Look to the Word of God. It's the spiritual food that will satisfy all your needs. Look to the Bible each day, not just on Sundays or once in a while. Most of you probably eat three meals a day, maybe two meals a day, for your physical hunger. Look to the Bible each day to provide food for your spiritual hunger. Trust in the provisions of your living God in the now and here. This is my Father's world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Listen to the everyday events that are going on around you. Listen with ears that hear. Listen with eyes that see. Listen and see how God has been protecting you and will always protect you. Trust in the protection of your living God in the now and here. This is my Father's world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Trust is the key to overcome worry, fear, and anxiety. Trust is to rest under the salvation of the cross. Trust is to stop, look, and listen for God's saving presence, provision, protection in our lives. Helen lost her eyesight, but she never lost her love for Jesus. Let me say that again. Helen Lamell, who wrote Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, lost her eyesight, but she never lost her love for Jesus. I think Helen would have known and memorized our reading from Hebrews 12. Helen learned to fix her eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of her faith. She never grew weary. Just listen again to verse 1 of our hymn that we're studying today. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Here's your so what. Here's your so what homework for this week. Whenever you are tempted to waste time worrying this week, remember three words. Stop, look, and listen. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? But seek first or strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Seek first the kingdom. My wife and I always start our mornings on our patio with a cup of coffee. And this past week, I heard her say, look over there by the blue hammock. There's a green parrot. I've heard other people say they've seen one, but I never have. And look, there it is. I do not know what it means, but it is that awesome to see something that God creates. My wife has been going through what she calls the dark night of the soul. We've lost 8 family members. Sleep is hard to come by for her. Just seeing the green parrot soothed her worry and troubled heart. Her eyes were off her sadness, and she focused on the sign that this is my Father's world. Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. I know it's been a rough few years on everyone. COVID has changed everything. COVID has ushered in new fears and worries, and yet here we are in chapter 6 of Matthew, do not worry. God's word was good for then, and it's good for now. Somehow, His words are new every morning. I'm going to leave you with a radical thought from Psalm 23 I've been studying this week. And we've been studying it because we've been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And we're trying to seek first the kingdom of God in our lives. And verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And as I studied this psalm this past week, I came across in the Hebrew the language, goodness and mercy are like Siamese twins. Twins that are joined physically, connected to each other. Isn't that radical? Here we live, Psalm 23. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Do not worry. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Do you remember just a few minutes ago, I told you the story of worry and fear are likened to a Siamese twin. Resist the temptation to worry. Resist the temptation to fear. Resist the temptation to be anxious. Stop, look, and listen. This is my Father's world. Sunrises and sunsets painted each new day. Green parrots and goodness and mercy co-joined to follow us all the days of our life till we see Christ in all of His glory. Let us pray. Lord God, we just give thanks for this great day. May we stop, look, and listen at all of Your mercies that are new every morning. Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world. They'll grow strangely dim in the light of Your glory and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.